So for a number of years now, we have in this parish kept Mother's Day as the May Festival of Our Lady, complete with, if I dare say so, a ripping good sermon on motherhood. And someone asked me some weeks ago why they'd never heard a sermon on St. Joseph, the spouse of Our Lady, the foster father of Jesus. And I said, I don't know. So today being Father's Day, I'm going to preach on St. Joseph, and I'm going to preach on fatherhood. Now, one of the reasons that the church was historically reluctant to preach about St. Joseph was that in the earliest centuries, probably the first 3 centuries or so, the church was concerned that if she put too much emphasis on St. Joseph at the cradle of Christianity, people might mistakenly associate him as the physical father of Jesus. And we, of course, know that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And the other reason that you probably haven't heard very much about St. Joseph is that we don't know very much about him, which would actually make this sermon rather short. From the scriptures, we know that Joseph was a descendant of the house of David, but despite this royal lineage, he lived the life, modest life of a carpenter, a trade that he apparently passed on to his son. And finally, we can infer, because of the silence of Scripture, that Joseph had probably died by the time of the crucifixion of our Lord. Now, just because we know very few facts about St. Joseph doesn't mean that he is unimportant. I mean, just think of all the men created by God from the beginning of time. We have Moses, the meekest of men, and Solomon, the wisest, and Job, the most patient. Patriarchs like Jesse and Jacob, and prophets like John the Baptist, apostles like Peter and Paul. God passed over all of these men, and his finger touched Joseph. God the Father chose Joseph from before all time to be his own earthly representative to Jesus. And apart from Mary, Joseph lived closer to Jesus than any other saint in heaven. Joseph sat at the same table as Jesus. He worked at the same bench. Joseph the carpenter had the King of Kings for his helper. Joseph was the great fatherly man whom the boy Jesus called Dad. And just because we don't know many facts about Joseph doesn't mean that he has nothing to teach us, especially about fatherhood. Whether or not we're biological fathers, we are all father figures to someone. And the first thing that impresses me about St. Joseph is his silence. The Gospels devote to him a mere 26 verses. They mention him but 14 times. He enters the scene quietly. He hides himself in the glamour of Jesus and Mary. And then he disappears from sight just as silently. Joseph is an example of how to guard the tongue. St. James, our St. James in Scripture, cautions that even though the tongue is a small part of the body, if used improperly, it can have the same effect of setting a whole forest ablaze. What fathers say to their wife and their children, and how they say it, is of great consequence both for them and for the health of the father's soul. How we speak and act is important. Words have lasting consequences. Once something is said, it cannot be unsaid. You cannot unring a bell. So let Joseph teach us how to guard our tongues. Secondly, Scripture shows us Joseph as a pious Jew who took his religious responsibilities seriously. Whether it was when, by the message of an angel, he put his fears aside and took Mary to be his wife, or the moment he left Bethlehem, or the hasty flight by night into Egypt with all its danger and intrigue, at each and every moment of his life, Joseph was eager that he and his family should do the will of God. Even when the ways of God were incomprehensible and unsettling, Joseph was faithful. And to those of us who are fathers or father figures, Joseph is an example of faithfulness to God and his church. The Christian faith, as I've often said, is hereditary, but it is not, it is passed on, but it is not hereditary. It is passed on through faithfulness in thought and word and deed. I mean, Joseph set his family the example of their annual pilgrimage to the temple. What about our faithfulness to the Sunday-by-Sunday worship of the church? What example do we set our children, and by extension, our children's children? Or how about striving to live a life of Christian holiness? Joseph's character is summed up in Scripture with the phrase, "He was a just man," or in some translations, "He was a godly man." And fathers, God grant that that will be your eulogy as well. He was a godly man. And thirdly, even though Mary is more exalted, more sublime, more majestic, more spiritual than any other creature, it is Joseph who on several occasions receives visions from our Lord. For instance, it is to Joseph that the vision is given that Mary's son is to be named Jesus. It is to Joseph that the vision is given that the Holy Family should flee to Egypt and after a time return to Israel. Joseph is the man of vision for his family. Fathers, even though your wife is more exalted, more sublime, probably more spiritual than you, it is to you that God will reveal the vision for your family. As fathers of a parish, Father David and I regularly pray to discern God's vision for this family. Has God given you a vision of what your family should be? Does your vision of family go beyond simply being a group of related individuals living under the same roof, to the same vision that Jesus has for his kingdom, an abode of truth and life, of holiness and grace, of justice and love and peace? Joseph is an example of what it is to be a person of vision. Now, finally, because we believe in the communion of saints, Saint Joseph is not only an example on earth, he is a powerful intercessor in heaven. And in the end, it is easier to ask for Joseph's prayers than for me to preach about him. Fathers ought to be praying and asking Joseph's help to be a good father. You don't know how much you're neglecting if you do not go to him. You have no idea how much you will gain by calling on him to help you. Joseph the carpenter will teach you how to apply the right effort to the right spot and measure your effort for the need of the task. In an age where Christian fatherhood is misunderstood, attacked, or denied, confide to Joseph your anxieties, your worries, your pain, your distress. He knows from experience what anxiety and insecurity are. Now, when I think of St. Joseph in heaven, I like to think of my grandfather, who in his retirement liked to putter around his shop. Only Joseph doesn't spend his time turning out tables and chairs and assorted curiosities like my grandfather did. No, Joseph hears the prayers of parents whose children have gone astray. He hears the prayers of parents whose children are in the pit of an evil habit, and he hammers together a ladder to bring them into the light. He takes marriages that are about to split wide open, and with the glue of charity, binds them back together again. And he even makes splints for broken hearts. Fathers, everyone, in any trouble, go to St. Joseph, because as a boy, our Lord went there himself. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in